Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Chris Evans here. Thank you so much for downloading this week's podcast of The Best of the Breakfast Show with Sky from Virgin Radio. Coming up, Matt Lucas chats about his brand new show, Reasons to be Cheerful, on Channel 4. Anton Dubek teaches us the magic of dance with his brand new lockdown YouTube series, Elevensies with Anton. Crafting superstar Kirsty Allsop tells us about her brand new show, Keep Crafting and Carry On. Richard Madeley talks about returning to the telly with Judy for their first show together for ages, Keep Reading and Carry On. Plus, superstar actor Joe Cole and so much more. On the way. Dapper Dave, over to you.
From the confines of his own home, he sent the country balmy with his baked potato. And with the help of some lockdown celebrity pals, his new show, Reasons to be Cheerful with Matt Lucas, arrives on Sunday to keep us smiling. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the man that's got Britain smitten. It's Matt Lucas.
Good morning, Matt.
Good morning. How are you?
Great. Were you aware you had Britain smitten?
Little Britain smitten.
Right, Reasons to be Cheerful with Matt Lucas, Channel 4.
Yes.
7:30 p.m., 26th of April. That is this Sunday. It kicks off. What's going on, Matthew?
So what it is, it's a show made entirely in lockdown, which it makes a change from watching repeats, doesn't it? It's on Channel 4. And we send a drone around the country visiting people and just seeing what they're up to. And it's a mixture of celebrities and also viewers sending in their stuff, what they're up to. So some of it's famous viral clips, but we go and then meet the people who made the clips. And it's really sweet and charming, actually. And the whole thing is that in spite of everything that's going on, people are still finding a way to be cheerful and resourceful and have fun. And so we just check in and catch up with lots of people. We start off with Ronan Keating and his lovely son, Cooper, doing exercises in their garden. Well, and it's ever so sweet.
Episode one sounds fantastic. So this is Sunday, 7:30. Harry Hill, Ronan Keating, yeah. Susie Ruffle, Krishna Guru Murthy, Basil Brush.
Yes.
Roman Kemp, Jamie Lang and Judy Love to get involved with fun activities. And that's just for starters. So is it a daily show? Is it a weekly show?
So it's going to be... the plan is to do it every Sunday for the next 6 weeks.
Brilliant.
And it's actually devised by Harry Hill. And he's helps with the script and everything like that. He writes the script and is one of the producers. So it's slightly that You've Been Framed vibe, actually, but it's really sweet. And then I've set up this tiny little voice booth in my bedroom, which is a bit like a bird table, actually. And I'm recording all the voiceovers in there. And also, if you like the baked potato song, I've done a Dennis Waterman. I've written and sung the theme tune to the show. So there's a new little earworm that I'm singing, I'm afraid.
Has the
you better run to the hills.
Has the baked potato made it across the Atlantic yet?
Well, funnily enough, I do these duets on Twitter, and there's a couple of high-profile American people who've heard the song who are up for doing some duets. So you never know. It's who knows where it'll end up. I mean, it's a 20-year-old song. I never dreamed that it would have this new lease of life. Or so who knows?
I think you've got to get James Corden, who's here at the moment, isn't he? Because he's here, self-isolating with his family. You've got to get James Corden's direct dial phone book and car karaoke. You've got to get that all that going on. All that's got
to
happen.
I would love to. I would love to do a duet with James, yeah. Oh, you know who I really want to do a duet with?
Tell
you
me.
Know who my dream person?
Beyonce.
Prince Charles.
Oh, Prince Charles.
Prince Charles. Well, yeah, because I'd love to hear him say... Thank you, baked potato.
Right,
it would be great.
Okay, well, do you have an in?
No,
I have an in. I have a big in there. I'm going to make that call for you after the show.
Wow,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, what we need to do is we need to make it easier, as easy as possible for it to happen for him. So how much, what do we want? Do we want, thank you, baked potato? Do we just that? Would that be?
That's all we need. Okay. That's all we need, yes. He doesn't even have to sing it. He just has to say it.
Yeah, and then
he just... He's so nice.
If you get him, then you get the world, don't you? Because that goes massively viral. Then you just get the world.
I think if you actually get Prince Charles, you don't really need to do any more.
I'd take Stevie Wonder. I'd take Madonna. I wouldn't throw those out of bed, would you?
I would. That'd be amazing if they fancied doing it. Amazing. I mean, not, it's not hugely likely, but why not? Let's reach for the stars.
Matt, I would not, even on my craziest day, bet against that. I really wouldn't bet against that happening.
Well, bless you. Thank you. No problem. So how are you doing anyway?
No, we're doing, look, we are so fortunate. We are as lucky as you can be in this situation. We get to come to work. We get to carry on doing the job we love. We have been affected a bit, you know, from a homeschooling point of view and you know, various restrictions like everybody else. But I don't think you could get any luckier than we are, you know, in this period of lockdown. And do you know what, Matt? The best thing is we feel slightly useful for once in our lives.
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? I use that word as well recently because usually I'm just at home eating crisps, but now I'm at home eating crisps, but also helping feed NHS. And actually, we should say, you know, that's what all this is for. And now, you know, I came onto the show, three weeks ago,
yep,
to talk about Feed NHS.
Yep.
And Feed NHS, we deliver hot, nutritious meals for free to critical care staff in NHS hospitals. And when I came on to talk to you, it was two hospitals in London that we had started at. And now we're at 68 hospitals across the country, serving 25,000 meals a day. So I want to thank everybody who has donated to Feed NHS. And you can still find our Just Giving page, or you can go to feednhs.com or thankyoubakedpotato.com, and you can still donate if you'd like to, because it is making a huge difference. So I have to pay tribute to all of the people who, on that whole supply chain, who are making that happen. Thank everyone who's been donating.
Well, incredible stories and breaking through, still breaking through. Week 5 of lockdown, day 32 of lockdown. Who knows what's going to happen, but we are better together. Keep doing the right things, all of us. Keep doing the right thing. And one day, the right thing will just pop up and it will happen. Now, let's talk about Captain Tom. It's his birthday next Thursday. He's 100 years old. Thank you, Baked Potato. Thank you, Captain Tom. Will that version be making its way to Captain Tom's house next Thursday, do you think?
Who knows? Yeah. Maybe I should send him a potato in the post. That would be really nice.
A birthday potato.
Can I just say one thing?
Go on, off
Can
you
I
go.
Say one thing? You know that garden? That's a big old... He runs around the house. That is quite a distance. It looks like... Is that his house? It looks huge.
It's his daughter's house, and they're doing quite well for themselves. Oh. And they make no secret of it. They've got a very successful business, which is located next door to their house. But no, I mean, it is, you know, it's already impressive. And then you see the garden, especially from a drone shot, and you think, no, that's pretty much up there. That would do it. Matt, it's great to talk to you again. You can come on the show whenever you like. You're a pure joy. You're a force for good. We love you.
Thank you. Thanks, Chris.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky on Virgin Radio.
If you want to perfect a Paso Doble or refine your rumba, then
that's
our next guest has just the thing. Elevenses with Anton streams live on his YouTube channel daily at 11 a.m. so you can learn to boogie from the best. It's Cha-Cha Tuesday, so please go wild for the one and only Anton de Beck.
Good morning, Anton!
Cha-Cha Tuesday.
Come on.
I love that. Cha-Cha Tuesday. Well, it's actually going to be Charleston Tuesday, if I want to say.
Well, we'll take that. Cha-Cha Charleston Tuesday.
We'll take that.
So how many have you done? How's it going?
It's going really, really well. I'm loving every second of it. I can't be honest with you. I've been doing it, I don't know, for a couple of weeks now, maybe 3 weeks now, actually. And it's interactive, which is the thing I love most about it. So people are online and the questions are coming. Yesterday, I did a Q&A session on it. So anybody who had any sort of dancing questions they wanted to ask me, or essentially ask me anything you like, we're just sort of all together in a big room, really, just enjoying ourselves, having a bit of a dance. And so, yesterday was great. It was all the questions from different dances, different bits of stuff people wanted to know and learn. And I went over all that yesterday. Today, we're going to go over Charleston. And all I'm doing, really, is I'm sort of starting off with just the beginnings of all the dances. And then we're just going to build them up. Nothing too dramatic. We don't need a lot of space. You sort of just roll up the rug and away you go.
Right. Well, you say roll up the rug because you have a similar situation, living room clearance of furniture situation to Joe Wicks going on. I presume it's your living room.
Yeah.
Lovely curtains, yeah. Fantastic bay window, and highly polished floorboards. Yeah, perfect.
It's well, like, the curtains are an absolute beauty.
It's like you knew this was going to happen one day.
Yeah, I could foresee the future. I'm that guy. But it's actually the, if I was to turn the camera around the other way, uh-huh. That's, you'd see everything piled up against that far wall. And so I've got myself a bit of space there.
Oh, dear.
And I'm really enjoying doing it because it's something I haven't really done for about 100 years is do this sort of thing where, you know, before, of course, we'd all be in a big hall or big ballroom and we'd be doing it together. But now doing it like this sort of takes me back a little bit, really. And I'm loving it. But the thing I love the most, really, is the interactive part, is people are online. There's live chat going on.
Yeah.
And even before I arrive, at 11 o'clock, so dramatic.
from the hallway, from the kitchen. Yeah, exactly.
Before I arrive from the kitchen. As I make my entrance down the stairs, they're already, everybody's sort of chatting online already. Yeah. And it's just the best, and I love it. I think it's just the best thing. I do that at 11, and at 3 o'clock, I do a workout class, which is called Fit at 50. And again, exactly the same thing. Roll up the rug and away we go.
It's amazing. Okay, do you get any help rolling up the rug?
No, I've got, my everything I roll up, my two little gorgeous children, the three-year-olds, come and put it all back. So it's not massively helpful. So every time I roll something out of the way, it comes straight the way back. But it's a very difficult time, this lockdown, for everybody. And everybody's got their own circumstance that they're struggling with. But if there's a sort of a small, you know, ray of light,
yes,
it's that I'm getting to spend all this wonderful time with the twins and Hannah. And we're just having a wonderful time together. I mean, as long as it doesn't go on too much longer, we all get evicted. But it's going to be, it's a lovely time to see them grow and develop. And what we're doing the stuff online as well, I'm just having a bit, I'm sort of enjoying myself, really.
Yeah, and you talk about people already chattering, you know, to each other before you actually start the class in the morning. Mm. And then the interaction, and it's because people have more time and they're having chats like we used to, you know, at the end of the garden gate.
Exactly. It's exactly that. People are, I mean, for example, there's one gentleman, Lee, he lives in Scottsdale in Arizona.
Yeah.
And he follows me from over there. So he follows the afternoon fitness class. And it's amazing. There's all these people are talking to each other as though, you know, they're in the garden, over the garden fence, just having a chat. And I think it's really important at this time, because the one thing we don't want to do with the isolation is become isolated.
Yeah.
And as long as we can keep talking to people, the expression keep connected, I mean, it's a bit of a terrible expression, but the sentiment is absolutely right. Yeah, but the sentiment's absolutely right. And for me, things like this interactive dance class and the fitness session there are perfect, really, because we're all in the same room doing the same thing, and then you start to talk to each other, and then you get common interest, and it's wonderful, and I'm really thrilled because of it.
And as always, you know, you're so well turned out. It gives you a reason to get up in the morning. You know, the three S's, the old, you know what, the shave and the shower. And
exactly.
It does that because you look amazing. You look, you know, you're dressed up to the nines as usual. Seriously.
Well, I think, you know what they say, you know, the less you do, the less you want to do.
Yeah.
So, you know, you get up and you do it properly. And for me, it's the right thing to do. If I look like I can't be bothered, why would anybody else want to be bothered? You know, I'm going to do it because I do it because I want to do it, and I do it because I love it, and I want other people to enjoy it. And as I say, the interactive thing is everything to me. I could have just done a sort of a video and then post videos, you know, but I wanted to do it live because I wanted it to be real. That's the most important thing to me. I wanted it to be real, and I wanted us all to be in a room together. And in my head, that's how I see it.
All right. And so
I'm loving it.
I've never been invited around to your house, but I can't wait to come now because I love the look of it. Can't wait.
You are more than welcome.
And where do you secrete the ankle biters? How do you make sure they don't sort of get in on the action when they're not supposed to?
Well, Hannah is remarkable.
Yeah.
And she walks them around the garden and takes them upstairs. And 11 o'clock is when we go and water the garden.
Yeah.
the children, anyway.
Okay, know what you mean. All right, Anton, so where do people find this? 11 with Anton, 11 a.m. daily on Anton Debeck TV.
AntonDebeck.tv, yeah,
wow.
Absolutely.
That's amazing,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, I do.
All right, pal, well, listen, I'll see you on the other side, or, you know, give us a call back, a shout back, whenever you want to mention something else. You're very welcome.
You are an absolute delight. And look, can I tell you, thank God for you. That's all I can say.
Can you tell my wife that, please?
Yeah, right.
Stay on the line, I'll give you her email. In fact, no, I'll give you her phone number, Anton. Just call, just say that, and then hang up very quickly, OK? It's probably best.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky on Virgin Radio.
Give our next guest a tube of super glue, some string, some bags of pasta and some loo roll, and she will blow your mind. Channel 4's Keep Crafting and Carry On starts today. Please welcome the Queen of Craft. It's fast becoming a national treasure. It's the one and only Kirsty Allsop.
Good morning, Kirsty.
Good morning, Chris. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you, my sweetheart?
Very well. Very well, thanks.
You must be like the best mum in the world to have it in lockdown.
Well, I don't know about that. Funny enough, the kids are in a couple of the shows, and it's very funny because they're quite wry about the whole thing.
Right, so are these are these brand new lockdown shows, or are these shows that were good to go and they've been retitled?
No, well, they're brand new lockdown shows. It was entirely... When we make the Christmas show, we have a four-month run-up and a team of about 30-plus on-site, plus the editors.
Right.
With this, we had a six-day run-up and a team of five.
Now, the good news about these kind of shows that are taking place at the moment is you find out whether you're really any good, because if you're still good via Skype or Zoom, you're really good. The bad news is the next time you try and get the budget signed off by Channel 4, they're going, hang on a minute, we can do this for £1.99.
No, everybody's been thinking that, Chris. They're like, oh, my God. But, I mean, what's really difficult is that usually with all the shows, we have a guest expert who sits next to me, and they're a bit of a guiding hand. Obviously, we didn't have that. It was me alone in a room with two cameramen at social distance and the rest of the team outside the door. And then us, you know, they were sleeping in the house. We had them all here. Everyone had to self-isolate before they came here, and then they came straight here, and then we just got on with it.
Wow.
And so it was, and I really, I mean, I do muck it up. I reckon there's a ratio of about 2 to 3. Like, for every 3 crafts, I muck up 2, and 1 is vaguely successful. So... it's really quite raw in that sense.
Yeah, but we're in mucking it up together times. It's fine. Nobody minds the mucking up bit. In fact, if you don't muck up, nobody believes you're doing it for real at the moment.
I know, you're right.
So listen, we're there tonight. Okay, done deal. 5 o'clock, we're around the telly. What are we going to see?
We're going to see, well, a lot of stuff which is what they call user-generated content. This is the stuff that we have been doing as a nation in lockdown.
Right.
So that's fantastic. You know, there's all sorts of crafts going on. We've got a hashtag, Keep Crafting, Carry On. And people have been just sending in the most amazing things. They've been making crocheted little nurses and doctors and rainbows for the NHS. They've been doing all sorts. So that's, I mean, the really good thing is it's very humbling because you see how good we are as a nation of crafters.
As a family, what have you been up to? Any film clubs going on? Anything going on in the garden? Vassos played Extreme It in Richmond Park with his family over the weekend.
We have been, because we've had all the crew here and we've all been filming together and doing everything together, we've been sort of, it's been a kind of weird experience.
Yeah.
But they've gone now. They all left yesterday, mm-hmm. And so now we're starting up with homeschooling again.
Yeah.
And so that's today, Monday, first day. And so I think I'm going to try and do a bit of bird watching and, you know, sort of spotting flowers and stuff, because I went for a walk with the kids, and I said, will you name like 10 English flowers, and we got to 3, and I was so ashamed. I was like, oh, I'm the worst parent ever. So I think we're going to try and do a bit of that kind of stuff, and just kind of just that kind of thing that slips between the cracks in the normal world.
Yeah.
Now, you know, like when I was a kid with my dad, whenever we went in a car, we'd always do capitals, you know, world capitals. And he'd test us on capital cities.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought, you know what? It's such a cool thing to know what the capital of every country is.
Yeah.
And that kind of stuff, you know, kind of old school stuff, which I've got the chance to do. I've got a WhatsApp group with my sisters. That's really funny. the sort of wryness of homeschooling is really making me laugh. You've probably got that too.
Yeah, we know we've got it all going on. People passing super tips here. So, and some parents are really good at this now. They've really sort of found their vocation in life.
Yeah.
Okay, so rivers, capitals, currencies, and... That's what you need, isn't it? Rivers, capitals. Oceans, would you do oceans as well?
Oceans, yeah. Oceans is really good.
Kings and Queens.
So all that kind of, yeah, Kings and Queens, timeline.
Yeah, timeline.
The whole sort of, you know, Henry VIII's wives.
Got it.
You know, that just as a sort of, just that stuff which, you know when you have mates who can reel off that stuff?
Yeah.
Proper, I mean, I know that pub quizzes have been a bit denigrated the last week with the quiz.
They don't, by the way, they don't have to be mates. They can be people you work with as well.
Yeah, but all the people I work with are brighter than me. I'm so used to it now. We've got all these young
people. What's it like?
It's just like, that's how it is. They just know stuff. But it was quite funny when we were filming because no one was allowed to be in the room except for the two cameramen. And when anyone, like, coughed or sneezed outside the door, obviously at the moment there's a bit of a panic if that happens.
Yeah.
And I developed an absolute knowledge of everyone's sneeze. And Andrew, my boss, was like, how do you know it's me every time? I don't sneeze in a northern accent. And I was like, I can't explain. I just know that it's...
What if he does? Right, so it's rivers, capitals, currencies, oceans. What was the other one we came up with?
There was flowers.
No, for the quiz. Rivers, capitals, currencies, oceans. There was one other one. And now it's sneezing in regional accents.
Yeah.
We'll go with that. Listen, we've got to go. Kirsty, thank you so much for being here.
Lovely to talk to you, Chris.
Oh, lovely to talk to you as always. Channel 4's Keep Crafting and Carry On. Bespoke for lockdown. Keep crafting and carry on.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky on Virgin Radio.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
We've heard from three guests already, but there's still so much more to come. Superstar Joe Cole, best known from Peaky Blinders, chats his brand new Sky original Sky Atlantic series, Gangs of London. All episodes available now on Sky. Nick Rusling shares info about the 2.6 challenge and how you can get involved. And Dr. Zan van Tulleken discusses the end of lockdown with his brand new TV show. Plus, Secretary of State for Health and Social Care, Matt Hancock, discussing the ongoing lockdown and the story behind the scenes of COVID-19 in Downing Street. All that coming up, but Dapper Dave, who's up next?
Jay-Z and Beyonce of Daytime Telly are back. A special lockdown series, Richard and Judy Keep Reading and Carry On, comes to Channel 4 on Monday the 4th of May. And here to tell us all about it is a bookworm that'll make your head turn. Let's say hello to Richard Madeley.
Good morning, Richard.
what a link.
When did you
write that?
Well,
in the loo?
You've got to be
good.
Up very early to beat Dapper Dave, I've got to tell you. And sometimes he reads them outright as well. Richard, so Judy and your good self, you are coming back to Channel 4, Rich and Judy, Keep Reading and Carry On. Now, you dipped your toe back into the waters of TV in February. You went and hosted This Morning for a bit of laugh, and it went very well. Is there something else we should know about here? This sounds like a pre-comeback to me.
Absolutely not. I swear to God, there is no agenda here at all. Ditto with This Morning. I mean, we only did it because they asked us, and it just seemed... And it's funny, Judy spent the last, I don't know, 10 years saying no to everything. I mean, she is completely retired from television, whereas I kind of, you know, pop up, basically keeping other people's seats warm, like Piers Morgan and Michael Ball and stuff on your old place, Radio 2. But Judy just says no to everything. It's a default setting. So when they asked us if we'd come in and do This Morning, she went, yeah, okay, yeah, we'll do that. And in the car home, I said to her, whatever happened to I'll never, ever present a TV show again? And she said, well, it's a bit like The Doc, you know, in Back to the Future, when Marty says to The Doc at the end of the first movie, he says, why did you read the letter that I wrote to you warning you about the future? You said it would destroy the space-time continuum. And Judy said, no, I just felt like The Doc. I thought, what the hell? So we did it. So, and it's the same here, really. I mean, Channel 4 literally phoned up 2 days ago. I mean, you know how quickly things are happening these days.
Yep.
And said, how about doing a kind of just a little book club like you used to do, but just a book club on the show, roughly the same time slot. And we just thought, well, why not? It's only for a week. We're doing starting on Monday. We'll strip it through Monday to Friday. And we'll just basically talk about all the books that we really, really, really have enjoyed over the years. They've got to be in print, obviously, so people can get them. And we're going to get some celebs on, you know, people like yourself, to talk about your favourite book. And it's just a kind of a book fest, really, just half an hour at the tea time.
So this is your, I mean, come on, what a treasure trove that is. Rich and Judy's ultimate book list.
Well, the thing is, we've had to read so many because of our... I mean, we can't blur this programme with our other book club, which we do in the High Street, with the High Street store, because that would be awful. That would be, you know, like profiteering. So we can't really talk about any of the books that we've been reading for that.
Yes.
But in between the box loads of books that we get for that book club, yeah, we do our own reading, and we've all got our favourites, you know, things like, I don't know, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, Niffenegger's book. You know, there's so many out there which have become classics, and they're still on sale. And, you know, the ones that turn us on, you know, that make us smile or cry or get passionate will be the ones that we'll be talking about.
And do you and Richard, you and Judy, rather, have your own reading chairs, reading rooms, reading situs?
It's funny you should ask that because, I mean, Judy would be here, you know, with me on speakerphone, except she's fast asleep because increasingly, when I want to put the light out around midnight, she's in the middle of one of... She reads so many more books than I do. She's got six on the go usually at the same time. And she goes into what used to be Chloe's bedroom, because obviously Chloe's married and gone now. And she reads in there till about 3 a.m. And I noticed this morning she came back at about 3:15. So, she is an absolutely extraordinary, devout reader.
Love it, Richard, love it. Because they last week, I mean, this is off the back of Kirsty Alsop's Keep Crafting and Carry On. It's a great little lockdown franchise. I think it's fantastic. I can't wait to see what they've got up the sleeve next. They must be thinking about more. So I know that Kirsty, they had this whole quarantine thing where they quarantined a whole film crew and they went to Kirsty's house and they filmed and it was all absolutely done properly. And it was a proper production in the end, but yours will be different, I presume.
No, we're doing it from home. In fact, I'm in the living room now where we'll probably be filming it.
Right.
And no, we're going to probably have one cameraman in the full kind of hazardous clothing gear. The production company that's making it for Channel 4, they actually make Hospital. And at the moment, they're actually filming in a COVID ward. So they're completely up to speed on you know, all the protocols. So we're not worried about that. It'll be completely kind of a completely sterile environment. It'll be fine.
Right. What else can you tell us? So you're recording on the day of transmission. How's it going to work?
No, we're going to be recording them next week. I mean, we really wanted to do it live, but because we're doing it from home and the technology clearly, you know, isn't as kind of rigorous as you know, like you've got on your studio or we had in our old studio, it would just be awful if the picture froze, you know, live.
Yeah, it's
not worth it. So we're going to pre-record it, but we're going to try and do it in real time so it has a live feel.
Good, excellent. And how's lockdown working out for you guys?
It's all right. I mean, it all depends on your circumstances, doesn't it? I mean, we're lucky. We live in a leafy part of North London. We've got quite a nice garden, which faces south. We're opposite the Hampstead Heath extension, which is open to the public, so we can go for long walks on that. So we're lucky. We've got access to a bit of space and a bit of sunshine. Whereas my son, Jack, and his wife-to-be and their baby, I mean, they're holed up in a really small flat in Hackney in East London, and it's driving them nuts, you know.
Yeah, and that's it, isn't it?
The local park was shut for a while, so they couldn't get out. So it totally depends on your personal circumstances, doesn't it?
All right, no, it absolutely does. Is there anything that you want anyone listening to do? Can they get involved in any way in your new show?
No, just make sure you've either set the record button or tune in starting Monday, May the 4th, as you say. I think it's going to go out at 5:30 to 6 o'clock. We'll be putting out numbers and, you know, email addresses and stuff. Be prepared to join in because we do want to get kind of discussions going about various books.
Okay, and what a day to launch Star Wars Day, May the 4th, be with you.
Good one. I'll use that. Use that in the first show.
All right, pal. Lovely to hear from you again. And stay safe. Thank you so much.
Same to you, Chris. Take care, mate.
Bye-bye.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky on Virgin Radio.
For years, he played a blinder, playing a Peaky Blinder, and now he's gone back to the spine-tingling new Sky original drama Gangs of London, which starts tomorrow. Please welcome a very nice actor man that plays an absolutely terrifying gangster man. It's the wonderful Joe Cole.
Hello, Joe.
Hello, how you doing?
Very well. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I hear you're learning Spanish for lockdown.
I am. I'm keeping myself occupied, Chris.
How's it going?
Keep myself busy. Yeah, it's good actually. Making good progress. Something to do. I think sort of I've got visions of going to South America when this is all said and done. I don't know how long that'll be, but it's keeping me sane.
Okay, and is that a rite of passage? Little, you know, is that a sort of is a little break for you, or are you going to be working there, or what?
No, just a break. I'm kind of dreaming of a beach somewhere far away. I'm sure we all are while we're cooped up in our homes. But Yeah, one day. Maybe yes. Maybe 2021, probably, at this rate.
It's funny, isn't it? Because, you know, we were talking about your show, weren't we, at the Big Sky launch, and which was wonderful, by the way. And Gangsters London, it's a pretty special show. The whole, I don't know, the world, but definitely the whole UK is going to be talking about this and wherever it's available to be seen. You know, and this would be a very busy time for you, I would imagine, usually, wouldn't it?
Yeah, they'd sort of normally want to drag you from pillar to post doing various press. Luckily kind of did most of it in the build up. Obviously met yourself and did various interviews and whatnot, and we just finished the show right in the nick of time. We'd filmed the whole thing and they were only a couple of weeks away from locking all the VFX stuff, so I think they did that remotely and got the thing done. So it was actually pretty good timing for us all in all.
Right, now a lot of people may not have even heard of Gangsters of London yet, but by gum, they will have come tomorrow night, or at least by the end of the weekend. Can you get them ready for it, please?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we've seen it before. It's a high-octane, high-thriller, gangster saga following a crime family in London and all the surrounding gangs and families and worlds. There's a lot of action. It's very violent. I think it's probably the most violent thing that's ever been on television. Not for the faint-hearted, but, you know, very stylistic and I think hopefully a lot of fun.
Yeah, and the choreography of some of those scenes, you know, how long did that take? What was it like to get them right? Because you have to get them right, but like you say, there is poetic license because they are, you know, they're almost balletic, some of them.
Yeah, I think there's a real art to it. And I think, you know, that these particular fight scenes and some of the action sequences, they take weeks and weeks of sort of in a studio working them out. And it's a real skill. And I think Gareth Evans is the man to do that. You know, he's the guy behind the Raid movies, these Indonesian fight movies. And he brings this kind of East Asian sort of flavour to London, and I think it's a real nice sort of juxtaposition.
So lots of night shoots.
A lot of night shoots. Yeah, a lot of filming down in dingy parts all over the place.
Now we talked about this again at the launch, but we'll talk about it now on the radio because obviously lots of people weren't there that are now listening. When do you sense? And I know you did sense this because we talked about it. When, as a gang, as you know, from the technical gang, from the cameras, caterers, wardrobe, hair, makeup, writers, actors, director. When did you sense something special was going on here? Because it is a very special show.
It's difficult to say, you get an instinct from the scripts and you get an instinct just when you're on set of the general positivity. I think when you're blowing stuff up in the streets of Soho and there's explosions left, right and centre, yeah. Cars spinning out, you know, then you get a feeling that it might be a good laugh.
Okay, and it's very now, isn't it? I mean, it is, you know, as Lockstock was 1990, whenever it was, this is really, it couldn't be more 2020.
I hope so, yeah. I get the feeling. I mean, I've only watched the first couple of episodes, but I really get the feeling that we haven't seen anything like this before.
Yeah.
I don't think we're painting by numbers here. I think we're doing something to move the conversation forward.
Yeah.
And hopefully that's something that people can enjoy in this what is quite a difficult time.
Well, you can hide your and hold your head in your hands, or you can look up and see what's going on and do something about it, I suppose.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
And of course, you could get a massive audience. You're going to get a massive audience anyway, but you know, everybody's stuck at home having to watch television. so it's great, yeah. When this is on. They're saying it's going to be the next watch out for this next binge watch is what people are saying. So Joe, what were you supposed to be doing around now in your life, apart from promoting this? Did you have any other jobs that have been put on hold?
Yeah, I was about to start something. I can't really talk about it at the moment. But, something, an IP we've seen before, something very exciting. It's kind of, I guess, they want to aim to shoot at the end of the year. We'll see if that happens. But yeah, it's just it's sitting in the garden.
trying to stay fit and sober. That's yeah. all we're doing. But Joe, it's a joy to talk to you. Congratulations. Give our love to everybody involved in this. Gangs of London hits Sky Atlantic 9 p.m. tomorrow, but all episodes available from tomorrow. It's also on Now TV and it drops at 1 minute past midnight tonight. Joe, thanks so much.
Thanks, Chris. All the best.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky on Virgin Radio.
Up next, we're speaking to Secretary of State for Health and Social Care, Matt Hancock. Morning, Matt. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good, thanks.
Well, I've seen you're very busy again, as always, as you would be. Why wouldn't you be? Of course, you are stepping up to the plate like never before. So the first question, Matt, this morning is, can you tell us the most important thing you have in your reaching out to the great British public hat right now, please?
The most important thing in my reaching out to the great British public hat?
Yeah, well, you know. Yeah.
Well, the thing that I can do is I can say that if you're listening to this programme and you're what's defined as an essential worker, that means, you know, if you're in the NHS, social care, teacher, police, or in a lot of the private sector businesses that supply them, my medicine supply chain, for instance, if you are one of those people who's allowed to send your child to school, then you can, and you have symptoms or somebody in your house has symptoms, you can now get a test online. Go to gov.uk, and we're rolling that out this morning.
All right, beautiful weather again this weekend. OK, it's always a bit of a worry that with the lockdown. So a word to the wise as far as that's concerned, please.
Yeah, so let's all stick with it, eh? Let's have the resolve. So far, people have shown good resolve. I think, you know, the large majority of people have followed the social distancing rules. They're there for a reason, because that's the best way to protect the NHS and save lives. You know, that is more than just a strapline. It's actually happening because, you know, the number of new cases is not going up anymore like it was. The number of people dying is, you know, yesterday's figure was a bit lower. That's obviously really, really good news. But we're at the peak, and we've only managed to make it a peak. We've only been able to do that because people have been following the rules. So it's working, and we've protected the NHS thus far. Every single person who's needed care has been able to get care in the NHS because people have followed the rules. So let's stick with it.
Okay, all right. In fact, you know, turn the screw even tighter. What, you know, we're all getting used to this now. We're completely getting used to it. A lot of people who were taking up their permitted exercise time every single day, even that's tailed off. You say, no, it's okay, I'm over it now, because we thought it's strange. I think we're getting better at being locked down, and all the better for it. Much more challenging for some people than others, of course. But please keep on doing the right thing. Right, what's the latest on masks from your point of view, Matt, from the horse's mouth, please, if you don't mind?
Well, the rules, the government position hasn't changed. The rules haven't changed. This is another one where we're constantly learning. What is the impact? But the number one thing, Chris, is that we've got to protect NHS staff, social care workers. And they need masks, and the high level surgical and the clinical masks to protect them. And that's, you know, that is my top priority. The evidence on mask wearing by normal people. If you're self isolating, that's the thing to do. But we'll always keep it under review. And if we get new scientific update based on impact from around the world, then obviously we'll look at that.
All right, one more serious question, then a bit of levity. Very exciting things going on at Oxford. Is it unwise to get over optimistic about certain things that were being said yesterday to do with that vaccine and the end of this year, or even as early as September?
It's always unwise to get over optimistic, but sometimes you can't help yourself. So look, we've got to be cautious about vaccines. There is no certainty that they will work. But of course, it's something I'm going to push as hard as I possibly can in case they do work. I hope people understand that, you know, what I'm not saying is a vaccine will be ready. But what I am saying is we will do everything we can to help people who are trying to make these vaccines and then to manufacture them so we can all get them if they do work. So it's I'm putting money behind it, taxpayers' money that you've paid in your taxes. And I hope people understand that the reason I'm doing that is not because I know it's definitely going to work, but it's because I want to give it every possible chance of working.
OK, because you're throwing everything at the wall, just hoping anything, something will stick and it might be of use.
at all the credible options, you know, the Oxford vaccine that was first put into somebody's arm yesterday, you know, that is a credible option. There's two or three other credible options in this country that we're working with.
All right. Now, do we owe you an apology, Matthew Hancock? Because last week you came on this show and, you know, we have a less aggressive conversation, but hopefully a more useful one than with other exchanges you may encounter. And straight after us, you went on to another program and it was and you, maybe you weren't quite ready for it because you're more relaxed or, you know, and this is no slight on your performance at all. And when I saw last night that you were scheduled to come on at 8:25, I thought, they've changed that around. Now, that's probably wise. So is that anything to do with today's scheduling, what happened last week or not?
It's just so good to be able to talk about what's actually going on in a, you know, in a proper conversation. Like, this is how I'd explain what's going on to, you know, to one of my constituents or to a member of my family about what I think is going on, as opposed to this sort of false, you said this the other day, and you said, I mean, it's just not what people want to hear at 8:30 in the morning, is it? So this is my last interview of the morning. I'm really pleased with that because it means I can just say it as it is and just relax, as opposed to having to watch out for these gotcha questions, which I think people are frankly are just a bit bored of.
I agree. So was that intentional? Because I hope it was in a way.
No, it wasn't intentional. I just get fed up sometimes with interviewers asking questions based on wrong facts, or, you know, just let's have a bit of respect for each other, you know. And I think that what, especially in a time like this when it's so uncertain, and we in government, honestly, we are doing our best, and of course we make mistakes, everybody does, but we're making the judgments as best as we possibly can for the whole country, listening to all the voices, all the scientists, you know, all the doctors, trying to make the best possible judgment. And I just hope that people give us that credit. Even if they don't like the judgment, we are trying to do our level best.
All right, thank you, Matt. Goodbye.
Good to talk.
Ta-da.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky on Virgin Radio.
Deborah Dave, who are we talking to next?
If there was a competition for giving a TV show a title that's also the most Googled question in the world, Channel 4 would win. When will lockdown end is on this Sunday at 8 p.m. And here to tell us all about it is one half of the finest twins on Earth. It's the lovely Zand van Tulleken.
Good morning, Zand. Hey. Thank you so much for being here.
Surely Chris's twins are the finest twins on Earth.
Well,
I've got to come in
a close second. Let's not quibble about it. You can never have too many twins. So I understand you're filming as we speak. What are you filming today and up to the show being broadcast on Sunday?
We're about to go and look at the rapid testing in IKEA. And we're going to be filming virtually until this program goes on air because things are changing so much. Yeah. Every single day we're getting more science and more knowledge about this virus. So we're still making it and we're filming as we speak because I don't think Johnny doesn't like to turn the camera off, basically.
Okay. So the title, When Will Lockdown End? Okay.
Yes.
It's a pretty incendiary title. It's all anybody really is talking about.
Yes.
How much closer will you get us to that answer come Sunday?
It's going to be like a gender reveal. We've got balloons with the date printed on them and we're going to release them over London. But it's a lot of different dates. So I think we are building a picture. I mean, it's been amazing making this because we've spoken to modellers, economists, frontline staff, epidemiologists, and we are building a picture of sort of how the end of lockdown has to look. And the central thing to understand is that unless we get a vaccine or a cure, and we're not going to get either of those things for a long time, then everyone will eventually get the virus.
Right.
So you've got a range of things you can do. One is you can do like Korea, and you can clamp down very hard and try and extinguish each little fire as it comes up. And the other thing you can do is let it run hot. You know, we've got Nightingale, we've fully resourced the NHS, we haven't run out of ventilators, let it spread through the population as safely and quickly as we can to get through it. And I think we will end up with a strategy somewhere in the middle. But what's amazing talking to the experts is no one's got a perfect answer to this. There are loads of little pieces of the puzzle that we're having to put together. Because basically you cannot make a model of exactly what will happen when you open the high street versus a theatre versus a pub. You can't work those things out. So there's the only really low-risk big win is sending kids back to school because kids are pretty safe. it'll spread pretty widely and quickly in the kids' population.
Yeah.
And kids obviously benefit, and we all benefit from kids being at school. Yeah. So apart from that easy win, which I think will happen fairly soon, we're then into a really delicate job of going, we're going to try a few things and gather data as aggressively as possible.
So this is a must-watch, isn't it? 8 p.m. as well, just about in time for us.
I think it's a must-watch. I'm very happy with that. That's like a handshake from Paul Hollywood, isn't it? I mean, a Chris Evans must-watch, that... People sit up and pay attention when you say that.
Well, but it's called When We're Locked Down, End Your Show. Channel 4, Sunday, this Sunday, 8 p.m. We can just watch about that that before going to bed at silly o'clock, can't we, Vassas? We can just about get that one in, and we will. And by the way, if we could, I'd get up early and watch it on Monday morning, because I think it's so important. But the show is called When Will Lockdown End. How do you end a programme called When Will Lockdown End? Do you have your last 2-3 minutes already written? Do you have an idea of where you're going
with this? It's a circle date in the calendar. It's just...
But what are you going to... You've got to say something that meaningful at the end of it all, haven't you?
Yes. So I think we've got a few... I think we've got a few missing pieces of the puzzle that we are going to fill in the next sort of 48 hours.
Right.
And then we'll probably voice it on Sunday morning. So this is going to be magazine fresh. I mean, this is going to be absolutely hot off the press when it goes to air. It has to be up to date. So we're interviewing people as late as possible. But in the end, I think we will... By the end of the programme... You will be able to look at your calendar and go, okay, this is what my life is going to look like.
Okay, and just before you go, so there is this talk that if you lift lockdown too early, you get a second peak. And the counter argument to that is it's not a second peak. That's just normality once we all go back to doing what we're doing. And it's, you know, you describe it as a second peak defensively to mitigate, a decision that may or may not have been the right one. But actually, that's just normally where it would be. It's not a peak. That's where it would live if we were to live as we usually do.
Yeah, that's a really nice way of putting it. I mean, this is not a storm that's going to pass, right? It's not a thing where if you... And I have lots of friends who are still like, batten down the hatches, stay indoors, it'll pass. Mm-hmm. It's not going to pass. We're going to live with this virus for the rest of our lives, unless we find a vaccine or a cure. And I think there are reasons to be optimistic, mainly that we're working hard, and reasons to be pessimistic. It's very, very hard to do those things. But whether you find a vaccine or a cure, basically, if we don't, we're going to be living with this virus forever.
So without holding you to this at all, and by the way, I'll unask the question if it's more helpful. What's your best guess scenario?
What do you unask it by, like, playing it backwards?
Yeah. Do you want me to do that?
my best guess is that we have to be cautious, right? We don't know very much about this virus.
Yeah.
And so the end of lockdown has to be careful. The one thing that we can do confidently and cautiously is get kids back to school.
Okay.
And I really hope that'll happen soon. And I think there would be good reasons for that to happen soon.
Okay.
The next step, possibly universities, that'll be another place where young people, you can allow it to spread in young people and protect young people at the same time, because going to school is very protective for kids.
Yeah.
The next step after schools and university, I think, is much, much more difficult to get an answer to. And I think it will be a decision about what is the most important thing for the economy, the most important things for people, kind of psychological health, because the easier you make the lockdown, the more likely people are to follow the rest of it.
Okay.
But we will be doing some element of lockdown at Christmas. Our lives will not be back to normal by Christmas.
Okay, what about football matches with crowds in August and September?
That's a very interesting question. And the modellers will tell you that a football match is not as bad as you would imagine it would be. You'd imagine getting 50,000 people together would be a total disaster. In fact, that may be less significant. They're less common events. And so compared to opening pubs, football matches with crowds might be able to be more optimistic about that.
That's
but
really
they're still working on the model. So these models are really, really, really hard to build. And,
wow.
And it's, you know, we've interviewed the chief modeler, or the guy that gathers all the models for the government, a guy called Graham Medley at the London School of Tropical Medicine. Absolutely phenomenal man. And he just says, you know, this is a work in progress. We are doing up.
Well, if your programme's half as interesting as this interview, it's going to be a real winner. Thank you, Dr. Zand.
You're lovely. It's lovely to speak to you.
All right, pal. Good luck. Well done. Dr. Zand van Tulleken and his bro, Chris, all over this. So When Will Lockdown End? Sunday, 26th of April, 8 p.m. on Channel 4.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky on Virgin Radio.
Whether you can run for 26 miles or walk for 26 minutes, our next guest is challenging people of all abilities to get their trainers on and raise money for the UK charity sector, starting on the day the London Marathon should have taken place. Please stamp your feet for the super sporty CEO himself. It's Nick Rusling.
Thank you very much, and it's over to Vass for this one.
Chris, thank you. Yes, I know about this. I know about this 26.2 challenge. It's good people coming together to do the right thing. So, Nick, good morning.
Good morning, Vassos.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm very well, thank you. Busy. I've created a bit of a monster here. Yeah. I've been very busy on building up to this weekend.
Yeah, listen, before we get to the what, let's talk about the how. Tell us the story, please, about how this came about. Who called who?
We're marathon organisers, and so we had to postpone our marathons, as you know, Manchester, London. And with that, we realised pretty quick that that's about £100 million just from those events alone that wasn't going to make itself to charities. So the London Marathon, myself and the mass participation organisers generally got together and we thought, let's do something about it. And running near your home became impractical. So we thought we can do more. We can help every single charity out there. And we needed to create a challenge that everybody could do. So the 2.6 challenge was created. It's sort of got the mass participation world behind it, but it's designed for the whole of Britain to save the UK's charities, because there's a massive crisis that about thousands of them are facing closure. So we're here to have some fun, but to get money in their pockets quickly.
It's a really good idea, isn't it? And there's, as you say, there's everybody who organises mass participation races are involved. There's you guys in Manchester, there's London Marathon events, London Landmarks, Park Run, the Great Run Company. And you've also got all sorts of extremely well-known people agreeing to do some very extraordinary things. Usain Bolt, Eliud Kipchoge.
Yeah, it's just sort of triggered the imagination. We've got my mother. Don't forget my mother. She's doing 26 laps in her front path. And you're right. It's sort of kicked off. Andrew Strauss has brought Freddie Flint off, Stephen Fry, Claire Balding. They're all in. We've had the rowers. So Matt Pinson's challenged Gareth Bale, which could be interesting. I think Pinson's a bit worried, actually. Bale's probably in quite good shape. We're secretly trying to get AJ to challenge Tyson Fury in the 2.6 challenge. And the joy is that you can do whatever you want. So we've got things like dancers, people who fancy dancing are dancing for 26 minutes. We've got an 80-year-old gardener who's doing 260 weeds. We've got my favourite, I feel a bit like Bruce Forsyth, is my favourite so far is the eaters out there. The CEO of Welcome to Yorkshire is going to eat 26 Yorkshire puddings.
Whoa.
So it's something for everyone, and the celebs are having some fun. But the key thing is that they're choosing their charities, and that's what it's about. You, whatever charity is close to your heart, you select that one and you get money to them.
Talk about the charities missing out because of all these mass participation races being cancelled or postponed. How are you guys all doing?
We are currently planning the Manchester Marathon for October. I mean, there are no mass participation events, but it's been quite heartwarming, actually. A lot of people who were signed up have just said, look, we want our place still.
Yeah.
And so 80% of people want to be doing the London events, the landmarks, as you say, Manchester Marathon. They say, just look, I'm signed up. Just hold the fort and we'll be there for them. So we're in a bit of a holding pattern, which is probably why I've been able to give about 20 hours of my day every day to this 2.6 challenge, which is amazing, actually. And it's been quite a channel of our energy. So it's all this week building the story. I mean, I don't know, Chris, Vassals, you've got a challenge, haven't you?
I don't know how you persuaded me to row 26 kilometres. I don't know how you persuaded me to do that. What are you going to do to take on your mum?
So, well, she's no one can take on my mum. She is going to put some tins of baked beans down her front path. It's about 4 metres long. She's 73 and she's got really bad arthritis. And she's going to do, she thinks it's an athletic stadium, but she's doing 26 laps. So that's amazing. I'm going to hop 2.6 kilometres in my quite short garden, which I've realised is actually going to hurt quite a lot. So I haven't done any practice, needless to say. I don't think you do, but I'm doing some hopping.
I want to do some, but I don't know what. Any ideas? What are the more novel things that have come into the pot? I mean, they're all quite novel, it's got to be said.
So we've got keepy-uppies, we've got eating,
no.
Juggling.
No,
juggling.
We've got gardening. We've got all sorts of weird exercises. So there's a 20-minute exercise video that the Andrew Strauss Foundation are pulling together. So you could join in. You could actually be on their video. So they're jumping around from Stephen Fry, Jamie Redknapp, Freddie Flintoff. So they need some people to inspire the nation, and then they're going to try and get donations.
I could not play 26 songs on the ukulele, not play them. That would raise a load of money.
First to sponsor. where do people go to find out more, please?
It is 2.6 challenge, all written, no numbers, .co.uk. So you go there, you find out more. There is inspiration on there. And then you can donate straight to your charity. And that's sort of my Bob Geldof moment, minus the swearing, which I've been told not to do.
No, thank you for that. Thank you.
The key is the fun. And then get involved with your neighbours and your friends. But then make sure you get the money to whatever charity really is close to your heart.
Well done,
and that's
mate.
The key bit.
Awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah, 2.6challenge.co.uk. Thank you, Nick.
Thank you very much, Vassos.
Great stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, brilliant.
Like I say, good people coming together for a good cause.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky on Virgin Radio.
Thank you so much for listening to this, the podcast of the Virgin Radio Breakfast Show. Don't forget you can subscribe and get it every week from wherever you get your podcast, and you will never miss the weekly roundup of all the best bits from our Virgin Radio Breakfast Show with Sky.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.